Give you kind of more of a devotional thought tonight, probably more than anything else. I don't have any points per se. It's not 3 points in a poem. I don't even have a poem tonight. Can you believe that? I don't hardly ever have a poem, do I? Ephesians is where we're going to be. And I'm going to share with you kind of a devotional thought tonight that I shared with our staff a couple weeks ago. And it seemed to be a blessing to them, and so I kind of worked on it some more and expanded it some more, and I want to share it with you tonight. And we're going to, I think, pretty much we're going to be in the book of Ephesians, so if you can turn over there and be in that book, we're going to look at several verses there tonight. Can anybody tell me in 2 weeks what is going to be in town? The races, right. The races are already in town. I guess they've already been having those, but the big one is coming, right? 2 weeks from today is the what? The Daytona 500. And tonight is another sporting event. Super Cup, Super Plate, what is it called? Super Bowl, that's it, right, right. You know I'm not a big football fan, so I can't remember that, but Packers aren't in it, I don't care, right? Tonight's the Super Bowl. You know, and I was thinking, when it comes to these sports, Super Bowl, Daytona 500, you know, there's a high premium on speed. Speed is everything. You know, you got to have speed. You got to have other things too, but if you don't have speed, you're probably not going to win. Speed is very, very, very important in football, and speed is very important in racing, and in most sports, speed is very important. In the Christian life, Paul said to run the race. And in 1 Corinthians 9, he talks about that. And he says, listen, guys, run the race. Because he said, one receives the prize. So he said, run. He didn't say walk. He didn't say jog. He said, run that you may obtain that eternal crown. He said, they run to earn a corruptible crown. He said, we're running to gain an incorruptible crown. He said, so you need some speed. You got to run. He said, you got to run the race. To me, the idea there is one of zeal. The idea is fervency, that you're not just goofing around at this Christian life thing. This isn't just something that we casually do. It's important to us. And we're running the race. You know, Hebrews, right? Hebrews 12:1 talks about running the race that is set before us. Laying aside every weight. Laying aside every sin that does so easily beset us. In other words, anything that would slow you down may be a sin, may not even be a sin, may just be classified as a weight. It's something that isn't necessarily sinful, but it doesn't help you run the race. It's not causing you to run faster. It's slowing you down. So he said, if it's a sin or it's a weight, he said, cast it aside. And he said, you need to run the race that's set before you, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When when you're serving the Lord, when you're serving in ministry, and I'm talking to the choir here tonight, you know, so to speak. I know that. I mean, you're here on a Sunday night, on Super Bowl Sunday night. And that's good, though, because really this devotion is mainly to you guys. I've tailored this for you because this is to the ones that are really involved. And you know, when you are serving the Lord, and probably most of you in here help with Walk Through Bethlehem, you probably have ministries that you're involved in every week. And whenever you're serving in ministry or you're leading a ministry, you can gain speed. And you feel like, sometimes you feel like you're in fifth gear, wide open, going 100 miles per hour. And there's a lot of speed and a lot of velocity. Sometimes as you serve the Lord, you can feel like you're moving at breakneck speed sometimes, serving in multiple areas. Many of you serve in multiple areas. You do multiple things. And you can get so busy serving, and you can get so busy attending services and serving and, you know, running to this meeting and that meeting and caring for people's needs and doing tasks that need to be done, attending meetings, following up on people, dealing with other volunteers that you work with, implementing new ideas, and you can get to going so fast. And I mean, we're just wide open running. And we fail to understand that in ministry, there's more to it than that. Sometimes we get so focused on moving forward and gaining speed that we neglect our spirit. And as a servant of God, it's so crucial that you grow your inner spirit. What does that mean? Well, it means you're growing spiritually. To grow your spirit means you're growing spiritually. You say, what does that mean? It means that you are growing in your relationship to God. It means that you are growing in your relationships to those closest to you in your life. The Apostle Paul talks so much about the Spirit, little s, and the Spirit, capital S. We know that the capital S Spirit means Holy Spirit, right? God's Spirit. We know that the little s, whenever you see a small s, that's a reference to your inner spirit. And Paul talked about both. And at salvation, the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, and our spirit, because you have a body, soul, and spirit, God's Spirit and your spirit become one when you get saved. He, 1 Corinthians 6 says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Now, look at Ephesians 1:13. I want you to look at that with me. Ephesians 1, verse 13. He says, in whom ye also trusted. Talking about trusting in Christ, verse 12. In whom? In Christ you also trusted. Hey, you know what? That's probably most of us here tonight. How many of you have trusted in Christ? Say amen. Huh? Have you trusted him? All right, that's you. Verse 13. In whom? In Christ you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. Somebody shared the truth with you, the gospel of your salvation. In whom? Also after that you believed. Right after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Capital S or small s? Capital S. So the Holy Spirit sealed you. That is, the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you when you got saved. Now, Paul's prayers for the saints, and he wrote all these books to the saints, right? Paul's prayers for the saints dealt with believers not getting bigger houses and nicer cars, all right? It didn't deal with bigger bank accounts and all that. That wasn't the focus of his prayers for these people. The focus of Paul's prayers was for these people to grow in their inner spirit, and that is to understand God and to understand the things of God in a deeper way. In Ephesians 1, look at verse 15. And notice he says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my what, church? Prayers. Now, what was he praying for? He's going to tell you, verse 17. Here's what he prayed. He said, I'm praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the Spirit. Capital or small? Small. So he's praying for something inside of them. He's praying that God will give unto you the Spirit in your inner man of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. In other words, you'll know him in a deeper way. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. And what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And I'm praying that you'll know the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Paul said, I am praying that in your inner man, in your spirit, you will know him in a deeper way. You will have inside of you a spirit of wisdom and revelation that comes from a knowledge of him. I'm praying that your spiritual eyes will be opened up. You'll be able to see things clearly for as they really are, not look at things through your flesh, not look at things through just your soulish powers, but that you will truly be edified in your spirit and you will truly look at things in life through the eyes of God. You will look at things the way God would look at them. He said, that's what I'm praying for you. I'm praying you will grow in your spirit. Look at chapter 3. Go over there. Chapter 3 in verse 16. That he would grant unto you, another one of his prayers. This is another one of Paul's prayer. His prayers were deep, man. Listen, they were deep. Look at this, verse 16. That he would grant grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit. Where? In the inner man. You know what that's saying right there? The inner man is another word for spirit. Your spirit. Small s. He's saying right here, you know what I'm praying for you? I'm praying that you will be strengthened with might by his spirit, God's spirit, in your spirit. I want you to be strengthened. I want you to grow. He's saying, I want you to grow your spirit. And as you grow your spirit, you've got a greater capacity to love. You've got a greater capacity to show grace. You've got a greater capacity to forgive. You have a greater capacity to show mercy and kindness. He said, I want you to grow. You know, I think about that verse where Paul said, our heart is enlarged for you. My heart's growing in my love for you. And that's what he's saying. I want you to grow by his spirit, in your inner spirit, in your inner man. And I want you to know God in a deeper way. In chapter 4, look at verse number 23. He says in chapter 4, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Small s or capital S in your Bible? Mine's a small. He's saying, I want you to be renewed in your inner man, in your inner spirit, of your mind. Chapter 4, verse 30. Look at that one. Chapter 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Small or capital S? Now it's a capital. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed. He lives inside of you. Don't grieve him. Don't make him sad. Now, what's my point? I want you to notice how spirit, capital S, and spirit, little s, are used, both of them, interchangeably here. There has to be a regular renewing of our spirit by the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you flat out, when you neglect your inner spirit, you end up grieving the Holy Spirit. When you neglect to build up your inner spirit, and you're not growing in the knowledge of him, when you are not growing your inner spirit, you will grieve the Holy Spirit, and the nasty things of verse 31 will begin to surface in your life. Notice what he said right after he said, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, maliciousness. You know, do y'all believe that it is possible to get so busy for God serving that we neglect our inner spirit? Do you think that's possible? Yeah. Because here's the deal. Serving doesn't build up your inner spirit, really. You're expending spiritual energy when you serve. So you're using up that energy that you're getting alone with the Lord in your inner man. As you serve, you're expending spiritual energy. So what can happen is that we're serving and we're busy, man, for God. I'm at church 3 times a week. I'm up at the church another 1 or 2 nights a week, and I'm serving in this ministry. I'm serving in that ministry. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And we get so busy. And we can get so busy for God, but not be kind people. Not be very forgiving people. In fact, look at verse 32. He says, and be ye what? Kind one to another. Tenderhearted. forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. How can a person, and again, I'm just sharing a devotional thought with you. Now, I shared this with my staff, and I want to share it with you tonight. How can a person be serving like crazy in ministry and be mean and be judgmental and be unforgiving? How can that happen? Guaranteed, they may have speed, but they've neglected the Spirit. And that's my point. You can have lots of speed and be running, man. And you're running and you're serving and you're doing, but you're not building up your inner man. You're not growing in your knowledge of Christ. And what can happen is sometimes some of the nastiest people can be people who are serving God. I got a witness tonight, amen. Brother Tom's with me. No, I'm being serious. Some of the nastiest people are people that I'm not saying that's always true. I'm saying that can happen. I'm just saying it can happen. It can happen to you. It can happen to me. We can end up serving. Why do you think that so many pastors and deacons' kids and leaders in the church, when their kids get to be 18 or 19, they don't want to darken the door of the church? It wasn't because their parents weren't serving. Well, their parents were serving. In fact, they were serving so much that they weren't growing in their spirit. They weren't growing spiritually in their relationship with God and those closest to them. Why? I'm busy serving. And I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And what can happen is we can get so busy serving that we're not manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, of a changed life, of people who are hanging out with God, for lack of a better term, who are with God. You know, I think about that passage in Acts. It's probably a little out of context here, but you know, it says, you know, that they took knowledge that the disciples had been with Jesus. And nothing can replace that. I don't care how many ministries you're involved in and how many nights of the week you're up at the church, nothing can replace you feeding your spirit in your inner man. The Bible says, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, little s. What does that tell me? Our spirit can become defiled and nasty. So you have to build yourself up spiritually. Why is that so crucial? Because we're running in ministry, man. And at a certain velocity, you'll run out of the wherewithal to lead and to serve well. At a certain speed, the Spirit, not the Holy Spirit, but your spirit will dissipate. That's why he said you got to renew yourself. How? By spending time with the Lord, conversing with God, talking to the Lord about things. Listen, I'm convinced if we spent more time talking to the Lord about our problems instead of talking to people, man, we would be okay. You know that? If we just spend more time talking to the Lord about it. It's like, you know, when you're riding a bike with somebody and you're just kind of casually riding a bike, you're on level ground and you guys are talking and you're conversing. Have you ever noticed as the speed increases, the conversation decreases? And I had a buddy, we go bike riding all over Cape Girardeau, Missouri, and there was a place called Snake Hill because it was windy and it was steep. And buddy, when we went down Snake Hill, we were not talking. And as you gain speed spiritually and you're serving at 100 miles per hour, what can happen is our conversation and our relationship with the Lord kind of. As servants of God, we have to adjust our velocity or we can end up trying to run on an empty spiritual gas tank. We go fast. We're going fast, man. We're going 100 miles per hour. But we feel empty on the inside. Paul was so fervent. He was running the race. But he made sure that his spiritual speed didn't dissipate his spirit. How did he do that? Go to Ephesians 6 real quick. Let me show you. Ephesians 6:18. Ephesians 6:18. What's the first two words, church? praying always. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You got to slow down, and you got to renew your spirit. You know, sometimes the question is not, am I gaining speed? In other words, am I serving more? Am I ministering more? Am I more involved than I've ever been before? Sometimes the question is not, am I gaining speed? The question is, am I gaining in spirit? Am I gaining spiritually? In my relationship with God, is my spirit line going up or is it going down? Do I feel more aware of God's presence? Do I feel more confident of His work in and through my life? Do I feel more inclined to bear the fruit of the Spirit in my life? How is it between me and God? Is my spirit line going up or down in my relationship with my spouse, with my kids, with my friends at church? You know, or am I too wrapped up in my own life to really care? You see, life is about balance. Effective ministry is about balance. And so my devotional thought for you tonight is simply this. Take care of your spirit. Take care of your spirit. Nobody can do it for you. Nobody can do that for you. And I'm just going to be completely transparent and honest with you right now. When I feel overwhelmed, it's not other people's fault. When I feel frustrated and I feel burned out and I feel aggravated, you say, you mean you get that way? Yeah. You know, when I feel frustrated, burned out, aggravated, it's not other people's fault. When I feel touchy and hypersensitive and hypercritical of other people, it's not other people's fault. Oh, I can try to blame it, and I can try to make my case and justify why I got a rotten attitude, and I can give all the excuses why. Bottom line is, it's my fault. Because I have emphasized speed over spirit. I am so busy with life, and it doesn't necessarily mean church life, although a lot of times it is. It can mean just life in general. I am so busy about my stuff and the things I got to do. And I got my to-do list, and I got my goals, and I got everything I want to get done, and I got all these areas I'm involved in, and usually I have overemphasized speed over spirit. I have neglected to care for my spirit. I have neglected to feed my spirit. And when that happens, all those nasty things of verse 31 begin to surface. And I'm not a real nice person to be around. And you're not either. And you know what? We have to remember that there's a balance here.